Thank you. If you have your Bible, will you turn with me to the Psalms, to Psalms 85. Psalms, almost in the middle of your Bible, the 85th chapter, beginning in the beginning. Lord, you have been favorable to your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sins. You have taken away your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? May you may revive us again. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would take your word, that you would touch our hearts. Father, I pray that you would revive us again, that we would see a change in our lives, that we would be see a change in our city, that we would see a change in our state and in our nation and in this world. Father, move. Thank you for the freedoms of our land. Father, preserve us to share the gospel in that freedom. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is here. Some of us in this room were here 50 years ago. 50 years ago, we were on the planet and we were in this wonderful country as we celebrated 200 years, and now we are here at 250 years. The United States was born when the Second Continental Congress voted to approve a resolution of independence. This brave action formally and legally separated the American colonies from Great Britain. It was not done lightly. Those who put their names to the Declaration of Independence were in fact signing their own death warrants, and many paid that price. John Adams wrote a letter which has now become rather famous to his wife Abigail, and you probably have heard it before, but I believe it is important to the day. He said, "This date will be a memorial epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as a day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp, parades, with shows, games, sports, guns and bells, bonfires and illuminations, from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forevermore." And you know the day John Adams spoke of, the day America came together, the day that the drafts were set in place for our independence in 1776 was July 2nd. Yes, July 2nd was when the thoughts came together. July 2nd was when they met. And the resolution was proposed by the representative from Virginia, Richard Henry Lee. Now, a declaration to explain that action came together and was signed, and that happened on July 4th. The principal author was Thomas Jefferson. So John Adams was off by 2 days, but he was correct in his heart. He was correct in what needs to happen. From the beginning, Americans celebrated the approval of the Declaration of Independence, and it should be celebrated today. it bothers me that many refuse to celebrate. I understand that the United States is not perfect. I understand that our country has flaws. I understand that we are not a perfect people. We're not perfect in our nation. We are not perfect in our city. We are not perfect at Northside Baptist Church. But let me tell you something. If you are in this land, you are blessed. Others have always wanted our natural resources. We have forest, rich soil, ores, minerals. We have natural gas and oil. There are great wonders of our world, but the beauties of America are astounding. We have mighty rivers and coasts and beaches. You can find beauty right here in Georgia. You can go to my home state, Alabama, and find some too. You can actually find them in every state. We have the Rockies and the Smoky Mountains. And few sites can compare with the majesty of the Grand Canyon. And yes, it is more than a big hole in the ground. We live in a beautiful land. The psalmist that wrote this psalm did so after the children of Israel returned from being captives in Babylon. They had been away. When they came back, the land was in a mess. The temple was in ruins. The walls of Jerusalem were broken down. But the writer of this psalm was a patriot. He believed God had blessed Israel, and he believed it was a blessing to be back in Israel, even in the rubble. They were free from captivity. God had brought them back, and they were excited. God had blessed them, and in God's power, they knew all things are possible. As I stand before you on this 250th birthday of our nation, I do so, and I do so unashamedly as a red-blooded American who is proud to be in this nation. I don't understand those that share the wonderful benefits of our freedom who act like they're ashamed of the very land that gives them the freedom to say what they want to say. It angers me to see people in other nations belittle our nation, to burn our flag. It does more when I see it happen in our own country. Those people cannot know that to disgrace that flag is to stomp on the sacrifices of thousands upon thousands who gave their blood that we might be free. The psalmist said that this is a day of remembrance, and so today is. He reminds us of God's blessing, of how favored Israel was. And today, our people need to be reminded that God has blessed America. We sing, America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood. From sea to shining sea, God has shed His grace on this land. The psalmist uses these first three verses to tell us that God is the one that's in control. In fact, six times you see the phrase, "Thou has to say what God has done. He knew that Israel was only back in the promised land, but because God is a God of blessing and God keeps his word. May I say, when we honestly look at the United States, how we came through the struggles, the conflicts, the battles, the sicknesses, the plagues, the difficulties our nation has endured, how can you not know God has blessed America? I believe God has blessed America from how we were founded. In 1620, long before the Declaration of Independence, pilgrims came to our shores for a specific purpose. They joined in a small cabin on a ship called the Mayflower, and they wrote a document called the Mayflower Compact. It begins, "In the name of God, amen." In case you don't know, amen is one of those words that is often used in churches when you agree with what is said and you're going to do something about it. It's okay to use that word. They went on to say, they came, listen, for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Years ago, the president of Argentina came to our country and was talking to historian Roger Batson. They discussed the differences in South America and North America. And the president of Argentina said, "South America has been blessed. It's composed of many great nations and many natural resources, but we lag behind North America." And Roger Batson asked him, "Why do you think that is? What's the difference?" And without hesitation, the Argentine president said, "The difference is how we were settled. Those who came to South America came seeking gold. Those who came to North America came seeking God." We call this time Independence Day because of the pronouncement of the Declaration of Independence. You know, it's important that you look at the document at some point in time, that you at least have an acquaintance with it. Our schools are somehow failing to teach these things. A recent survey of Americans showed that almost 50% did not know what was celebrated on July 4th or why. Revisionists are trying to say we are not a Christian land and Christianity had nothing to do with it. God had nothing to do with it. But if you read the documents, that says something different. The Declaration of Independence begins, "We hold these truths to be self-evident." That means we're going to tell you something that's so true that any dullard knows it's true. That all men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Our founding fathers believe that there is a God. They believe that God is the Creator. No, they did not talk about evolution. They believe we all have rights, but notice they believe those rights are given us by God and not by government. And so government does not have the right to take them away. This declaration was a statement of independence from our separation from England. And at the same time, it was a declaration of our dependence on Almighty God, the Creator. The time of our nation's birth was a time of spiritual revival. The first spiritual revival that swept our land actually began in the 1730s, long before Independence Day, and yet it was still going on in 1776. Of the 55 men who framed the Constitution, 50 of them were proclaimed Christians. Not theist, Christians. James Madison, the architect of the Constitution, our fourth president, said, "We stake the whole future of America, the whole future of the American civilization, not on the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future upon the capacity of each and every one of us to govern ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God." A visitor to the Continental Congress asked someone, "Can you point out General Washington to me?" And he said, "Oh yes, he's easy to see. He is the tallest man in the room, but he's the one that goes to his knees when the Congress prays." In General Washington's inauguration as president, he said, "My fervent supplication is that Almighty God, who rules over the universe, whose providential aid can supply every human defect, that his benediction will concentrate to the liberties and happiness of the people of the United States, a government succeeded by themselves for these essential purposes. We ought to be no less persuaded that the smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation with disregard to eternal rules of order and rights which heaven itself has ordained." President Washington, and later echoed by President Adams, said that it would be impossible to govern without God and the Bible. John Quincy Adams, in 1821, said this, "The highest glory of the American Revolution was it connected in one indissoluble bond, the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity." That means that while our founding fathers believed that government should not interfere with the church and with our faith, they did not believe in the separation of God from the government. John Quincy Adams went on to say, "From the Declaration, we are bound by the laws of God, which they all, and by the laws of the gospel, which they nearly all acknowledged as the rules of conduct." Andrew Jackson, our seventh president, said, "The Bible is the rock upon which our republic rests." Yes, we need to be reminded. Abraham Lincoln said, "Unless the great God that assisted Washington shall be with me and aid me, I must fail. But if the great God that directed and protected him shall guide and support me, I shall not fail. Let us pray that the God of our fathers may not forsake us now." In 1931, President Woodrow Wilson said this, "America was born to exemplify devotion to the elements of righteousness which are derived from the Holy Scriptures. It is the birthright of our nation that we should seek to live by, hold to, and hold our government to the Word of God." In 1952, President Eisenhower, I like Ike, he said, the biblical story of a promised land inspired the founders of America. The psalmist's land was in shambles. But God had blessed them still, and God had given them forgiveness. The greatest thing that you can receive today is forgiveness from God. Verse 2, "You covered all their sins." Verse 3, you have taken away your wrath. What God had done for Israel is a picture of what God does for each and every one who receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Jesus came and lived a life of perfection, offered his all on Calvary that we might be forgiven. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, he forgives all your sin. Oh my. He secures your freedom to God's peace and to God's heaven. Our sin causes our lives to miss God's best. God's holy purpose is missed by those who will not trust him. All we deserve, really, is the devil's hell. But because of Jesus' sacrifice, when we say yes to Jesus, when we accept what he did on Calvary's cross, we receive God's forgiveness, we receive God's mercy, we receive a heavenly home. Such freedom isn't free. Jesus paid all on Calvary that you might be forgiven. There's a picture of this in the United States. Go to any national cemetery, you will see grave after grave after grave of thousands upon thousands who have sacrificed for our freedom. As the song says, Lee Greenwood said, well, I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died and gave that right to me. And I would add women to that as well. I won't forget those who sacrificed for our nation's freedom. But let me tell you, I certainly will not forget Jesus who sacrificed all for me. I believe God has blessed the United States because of how our country started. Because with the freedom of the United States, the gospel has been able to go around the world. Because of that freedom, most of you have heard the gospel. And some of you have come to Jesus in faith and said yes to him, have received his forgiveness, his peace, his joy, and you will one day be in his heaven. That came by the freedom he had bought. In that same freedom that we have, we need to challenge others to come to Jesus. We need to give them the same opportunity. We need to always be reminded of what has happened to make us free. And then this is the day for revival. In verse 4 and 6, restore us, O God, of our salvation, and cause your anger to cease. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? The psalmist already spoke of God's forgiveness and turning from wrath, but that was in the past. Now they had again turned their backs on God. And so again he asks God for revival. I believe the United States is still a place that God has blessed, but I believe our blessings do not come from what you see in faith in America today. I believe it comes from the faith of those who founded us and who stood by God all through the years and who prayed and prayed and prayed through the wars, who prayed for lost people to come to Jesus, and who prayed for soldiers that were away to be safe. I think it is that faith that we are being blessed by. What are those tomorrow going to be blessed by? We need to be a people that are revived, that will stand with Jesus. You know, God is not pleased with the sinfulness of our nation. God's not pleased with the sinfulness of our lives. Look at what's happening. Can you imagine the thoughts of people letting some of the things happen that are happening today? 1,700 babies aborted, killed, slaughtered in their mother's wombs in America every year. God's not happy. Marriage lowered to an event where men can be married to men and women can be married to women, forgetting that God made man and woman and said, be fruitful and multiply. God is not happy. People denying their gender and being altered physically that they might present themselves as something they are not. God is not happy. Now, let me be quick to say, I don't believe anybody in America should be treated differently because of choices they've made, even if they are wrong choices. We should treat every person with dignity, even if they in themselves are not very dignified. Billy Graham said before he died, if America does not change, God will have to bring judgment or apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. God makes it clear. America has problems, but if we are honest, the problems are not because of the people we want to blame. The problems are not because of the abortionists. The problem is not in the laps of the LGBTQ community. It is not because of the murderers. It is not because of the thieves. The problems, God says, is with his own people. That would be with Christians. You see, the problems we see in this land is because those of us who name the name of Jesus have not lived like we believe in him. And so we have caused doubt in others. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is very true. If my people, hey, that's believers, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. What does that say? Well, it says, Christians, we need to get back to living for Jesus. And if you've never lived for Jesus, you need to start living for Jesus. We need to get back to prayer. We need to get back to reading our Bibles. We need to get back to church. We need to get back to Sunday school. We need to put Jesus as the Lord of our lives, not as somebody we just pass by occasionally. We have Christian parents that used to be faithful that are no longer in church very frequently, that don't understand why their children and grandchildren don't follow God. It is time for believers to be on our knees. As believers, we need God's forgiveness. We need to either go before God, seek forgiveness, start living for him, or we need to prepare ourselves for judgment because it will come. No, a believer will not lose their salvation, but you can lose the blessings of God for now and for the future. If Christians do not start standing up for Jesus in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, at work, at the polls, we could lose America. We certainly can lose God's blessings. Why, today we are even in a world where those that do not believe in the American form of government have been elected to offices of that government. That's how destruction happens. If you know Jesus, will you please cry out to God with me? God, search me and know me and see if there is any wicked way within me and lead me in your way everlasting. God, bring your forgiveness to my life. And God, help me to live by your word for your purposes to accomplish your will in this nation, in my family, in my city, wherever you give me breath. Not only for today, but for the rest of my days till I come home to you. We need revival. And it must happen in our hearts. And so today I challenge you, get before God. Come to the altar. Make a decision in your own heart and life. We need to know today is a day of remembrance. Today is a day for revival, and today is a day for relearning. We need to learn again the truth of God. Verse 8 says, I will hear what the Lord will speak. Wow, we need to do that. We need to listen to what God's word says, and we need to do something about it. We need to get back to Sunday school. We all need Bible study. We need to get back to worship, and we need to be regular. Hey, regular. You know that studies today show that the regular church attender, regular, is deemed someone who comes once a month. May I tell you, if we had to stand on people that only came once a month, we would not be open. 1 month you may come and the doors may be closed. We need people that will be faithful to God, and that means faithful to God's house. And yes, that is faithful in giving, but more than anything, faithful in living. We need to relearn God's way that we might have God's peace. In verse 9, his salvation is close. When believers get right, God's glory is seen. I want to see God's glory from sea to shining sea. We need to relearn how our nation came to be. We need to relearn how our God has preserved and saved us. We need to relearn the truth of God. And you know, those who came before us knew we needed to remember these things, and so they wrote them down in memorable ways. Certainly our documents show those things, but our national anthem does as well. Did you know our national anthem has more than one verse? They're seldom sung. But the final verse of the national anthem declares that our nation stands on God's power, God's blessing, and God's freedom. Now, you may have never heard it. You may have not known the words. A few years ago, we sang it together, but I believe today is a great day for us to do that again. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and because I'm going to guess that some of you may have forgotten the words, well, let's face it, it's hard to remember the words to the first stanza. And so they're on the board. And if you will, we're just going to sing it a cappella together as a reminder, as a relearning time of how our nation is blessed. Oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation, blessed with victory and peace, May this heaven-rescued land praise the power that has made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just. And this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Our forefathers knew that any hope, any blessing, any trust we have comes from God. Our nation only stands by God, and it will only continue to stand by God. And when we leave God, America will fall apart. That is the threat of our nation. That is the threat of our homes. What we need more than anything is Jesus. We need to accept Him. We need to serve Him. We need to follow Him. And we need to praise Him. What are you going to do? In just a moment, we'll give you that opportunity to respond. Revival can only come if you decide it's going to come in you. And so come to the altar. You don't have to say anything to anybody but God. And Him you need to talk to. And if you don't know Jesus, T.O. will be here, I will be here. Just come and say, I want Jesus. We will pray with you today. Jesus will come into your heart. And my friend, you'll find out what freedom is. You will be forgiven and you will get a new home in heaven. All of that because you have Jesus. The decision for what happens next is up to you. Pray with me. Father, we ask now that you will move in our hearts. Father, we do pray that revival will sweep our land. But Father, for right now, we pray that revival will sweep our hearts. Father, that we will not be the same after today. Father, that we will bow before you, that we will seek forgiveness of you, that we will stand in your power, that we will take your word, and Father, that we will make a difference in our heart, a difference in our life, a difference in our home, a difference, Father, that will not pass away because it is of you. And Father, for those that do not know Jesus, if they don't know that they're going to spend eternity in heaven, Father, they need Jesus more than anything. I pray that today, this very moment, they would be willing to walk forward and say, I want Jesus. If they're online, Father, that they would bow before you and ask you to come into their heart to forgive their sins and to save their souls. And then they would tell someone of their decision for Jesus. We thank you for what you're going to do. Oh God, bring revival. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come as we sing?